One of the values of life we can see. Obviously, we don't understand Hashem's cosmic reasons why we need to be alive, even doing nothing. But we see the value of a moment of life is that a person can be koine kol olam of his. Any second a person's life, he can do a mitzvah, he can do tshuva, he can mamash, he can fuch everything. So in the light of that, Novenes Maimre Shal David HaMelech Havel Hashem Shomer V'chetasi Negdi Tomid. Very depressing statement by David HaMelech. That my sin is before me always, walking around feeling like a sinner your whole life. You walk around and your veir is right here, and that's all you can think about, and it sounds very depressing. Well, what did David HaMelech mean? V'chetasi Negdi Somid. David HaMelech Havel Shalom Ha'amik B'tshuva Kol Yom Echayov. David HaMelech, the tshuva all his life. For something he didn't do. What do you mean something he didn't do? Because Allah is a chet, shay, a dak min a dak, at shomra alav chachomim, koloim e David chet, chotter, ainu el a tov. David HaMelech spent his whole life doing tshuva for a sin that didn't happen. That's what Chazal are telling us. Koloim e David chotter, ainu el a tov. We even say David HaMelech did this and he's making mistakes. It means David didn't do it, sir. So what did he spend his life doing tshuva for? Reuven as well. The Gemara there mentions a few. It mentions Reuven, Shlomo, David.
Who said it? David or Shlomo, Avon Akevai is Sabini. The sins of my heel surround me. Was it David? Avon Akevai is
Sabini. Tanakh's not my. What's the Tanakh? That's the only Tanakh's not my.
Avon Akevai is Sabini. The sins of my heel surround me. Wasn't it David HaMelech?
Fine, but the Gemara says, Chazal tell us
that he was talking about this.
David Chota Eino Eloto. How do you understand the sugya? We know David HaMelech didn't have very. He spent his whole life doing tshuva. Reuven is the symbol of tshuva for the sin. That if you say he did a sin, you're making a mistake. He didn't do a sin.
So I saw Peshad. I saw an explanation by Avon Akevai Sabini. The sins of my heel surround me. He's talking about the sins that people take very lightly, that they trample with their feet because they think there's no value in it.
Chazal say, Kolo Eime David Chota Eino Eloto. How do you understand that in the light of David doing tshuva? Whoever says David HaMelech did a sin, he's making a mistake. That means he didn't make a sin. But David says, Chetosi Negdi Tomid. How do you understand Chazal? How do you understand this Gemara? So Pshat in the Gemara, I think, is Poshut. It's not my Pshat. It's Rav Dessler again. It's a famous Gemara of Rav Safra. Rav Safra was sitting in the Shuk, and he was saying Shema. He sold things in the Shuk. And a guy came to buy something from him, and he offered him 50. But he didn't say anything because he was in the middle of Kriya Shema. He couldn't answer it. So the guy thought he was ignoring him because he wanted more. So he offered him 70, kept quiet, 80, 200. Eventually, Rav Safra finished saying Kriya Shema, and he said, you can have it for 50. Because when you said 50, I decided to sell it for 50. Well, I'm giving you two for 50. Al pi halacha, there was nothing wrong with Rav Safra taking 200. There was no gemar kinyan, there was no haskama. One says a haskama before the kinyan, there's an isav lishapora, could be that you can't change your mind. But yeah, there was no haskama, there was no kinyan, there was nothing. I mean, midas chasidus wouldn't even require him not to give him at 200, could give him at 200. So why did Rav Safra give him it to be 50? So the Gemara there thinks is doiva emes bilvavoi. I have to speak truth in my heart. I in my heart agreed I'll give it to him for 50. I need to speak truth in my heart. But Al Pi Halacha, he didn't do anything wrong. Now, what would be if Rav Safra got home that night? Yeah? And he took the 200 from the goy. Let's say Rav Safra had taken the 200 from the goy. Now, in Shulchan Aruch, he didn't do anything wrong. On Yom Kippur, he doesn't have to klap chait for that. He didn't do anything wrong. But he writes in his diary, I stole money from a goy today. Lord Dover Emes Bilvavoy. I didn't speak Emes in my heart for him. That's a gneiva. Now, that diary goes viral. That diary makes it onto whatever, Twitter, Rahman and Litzlan or whatever. And the whole world says, Rav Safra did a sin. Rav Safra stole. He said it himself. Call me Shoemer Rav Safra Choyte Enu Eletoy. Why does the Gemara say, call me Shoemer David Chota Enu Eletoy? Just say, David didn't do a sin. What's the Gemara's Loshon? Kol Ha'Eime. That means you're not allowed to say that he sinned.
Even though he thinks so.
He might, in his avoider, he thinks he did something, he's got to do tshuva for it. But where you're coming from, in your lexicon, in the language you speak, don't think David did a sin, because where you're coming from, David didn't do anything wrong. and neither did Reuven and neither did Shlomo. Each one you have to work out what exactly the cheshbon is, so I'm not going into that. But yeah, the thought is we have certain standards we set for ourselves. Yeah? Certain standards we set for ourselves. Could be that it's completely mutter, but there's certain things you wouldn't do. And you did it. So you're writing your diary. Today I'm not sure was I spoke Lashon Hara or I did this, whatever. Call me Sha'aimer. Whoever says you did a sin, he's making a mistake. But you didn't do a sin. Ah, so why did he do tshuva? Because he was holding. For Rav Safra, it was a question of any dover in Rav. For David HaMelech, it was an Indian in Gaiva. For Reuven, it was an Indian in Kibbutz Aveh. Whatever his dagger was. But kol ha'emer, the problem is not that he did or he didn't. The question is, you're not allowed to say. You're not allowed to use that language. You're not allowed to use that language. But the Chet Ha'egel, what's your question? Would you say that America is a communist country? If there was an election in America, yeah, and 1 out of 200 people voted for the Communist Party, it could happen, let's say 1 in 200 people voted for the Communist Party, would that make America a communist country? No. What happened with the Chet Ha'egel? How many people were killed ultimately and died for the Chet Ha'egel? 3,000. 3,000. That's 1 in 200. 600,000, 1 in 200, 3,000, yeah? What does the Pasuk say? Chayte Yisrael. The whole of Klal Yisrael, a bunch of sinners. What's going on? We're talking about? It was 1 in 200. How do you call America a communist country? Because 1 in 200 people voted for the Communist Party. The Torah calls Klal Yisrael, you all sin. You all sin. You see, the language of the Torah is a different language. If you read that using our language, you got wrong pshat. You haven't understood the Pasuk. You haven't understood Torah. The Torah uses a different language. You have to learn the language, otherwise you're going to make mistakes. Kol Ha'omer, Kol Yisrael Chota B'Chet Ha'egel. I knew it at all. You're making a mistake. So was Klal Yisrael responsible? Good. It's another sugya. The same by Achan. When Achan took spoils from what does Hashem say? They want to know why they lost the war. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
When they went into Yericho, Moshe told them you can't take spoils. No, take spoils. So one person out of 100, out of 600,000 took spoils. What does Hashem say about Klal Yisrael? Klal Yisrael, Chayta, Hafates, Brisi, and all of Klal Yisrael, they've denigrated my covenant. One out of 600,000 people. If that happened today, the headlines would be most moral army ever. The Russian army went into Chechnya. The general said no one can, spillages and spoils and whatever. And one guy went and he basically stole a packet of flour or whatever, sugar. Yeah? What would the headlines read the next morning? This is the most disciplined moral army that ever existed in the history of the world. Only one guy out of 600,000 when the general said don't take, just because the general said they didn't take. Only one guy, no, Mishka Fela. What happens to Klal Yisrael? The Torah says, that's the notion of the Torah. Kol Klal Yisrael Sindhya. You see, the Torah uses a language we're familiar with. Kol Ha'ome Klal Yisrael Chayte. You're making a mistake. You have to learn the language of the Torah properly. Why is it, by the way, that the whole of Klal Yisrael was responsible for Achan's sin? If a bocha would smoke on Shabbos in Ponovitch Yeshiva, what would they tell you about the yeshiva? There's something wrong with the yeshiva. That the atmosphere of the yeshiva is such that a bocha could smoke on Shabbos in the yeshiva? That there's a problem with the whole yeshiva. The fact that the avira of Klal Yisrael when they went into Yericho was such that one person could steal? That means that Klal Yisrael, the whole of Klal Yisrael, something's faulty with Klal Yisrael. That's the problem here. To say the whole of Klal Yisrael stole, the whole of Klal Yisrael sinned, and the whole of Klal Yisrael is a bunch of ganovim because one guy in 600,000 stole? But that's not pshat. You have to learn a little pshat in Chumash. Kol Ha'omer, that's what Chazal did. Bidyuk, that's the Moshe from this. Kol Ha'omer David Chota Ein Eletoy. Doesn't say David didn't sin. He sinned, but you know what I say. You don't know what David HaMelech, you don't know what it looks like with David HaMelech. And you go through all the sins of the ancients or whatever, it applies, you'll see, it applies to all of them. Same rule applies everywhere. Many, many examples of this that he brings, but that's the sugya in a nutshell. It's important to know the basic principles, because then you can apply them anywhere. But David on his level, it felt he did something wrong, he spent his entire life doing tshuva for that. So what's it got to do with our subject? If we can get back to our subject, if we remember what our subject was.
You see, by Yaakov, I mean, that he was fearful of the slightest error that he may have done before he confronted Esau.
Yeah. There it's less of a problem because you don't see the Torah telling us that he did tshuva and he did this, he could have just been wrong. Yeah, we see David Omer spent his life. Reuven, the Torah tells us, is the semel of tshuva. The Ramban says that's why in the Machane, in Bamidbar, in the Machanot, you need Reuven together with Shimon and God. Because Shimon needs to do tshuva, and Reuven taught the world how to do tshuva. And God is Gvura, so you need Gvura to do tshuva. That's how Ramban lumps those three together in the same Machane. You see that Reuven was the teacher of tshuva, and whoever says he did a sin is making a mistake, he never did a sin. So how did he do tshuva? No, for his darga, for his whatever, it needs to be worked out what he did wrong. But you know to say that he sinned. Kol ha'ime enu ele Torah. Okay, but back to our subject. So David HaMelech was chatasi negdi tomid. The derek tshuvoso hu litzel es achet lemamritz umenadar ben he took the sin and he used every moment of his life to polish and to improve and to get his relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu to higher levels and closer levels of Ava. David HaMelech is the one that taught us how to relate to Chet. His whole life after that was one big oile shel tshuva, one big sacrifice, one big offering of tshuva. Who limed otanu al utzma v'koyach hatikun adi haklulim bechet kashe metaknim oisim. And he taught us the enormous value, the enormous power. When you mesaken a chet, how much power there is in that tikun of a chet. You can go to a place with a tzaddikim gemurim. If you can imagine, just take 5 minutes and meditate on what a tzaddik gomer looks like. Never ever sinned. Tzaddik gomer is someone who never ever sinned. Imagine trying making such a creature. It's like beyond that comprehension. God never ever never ever sinned. It means never a machshava wrong, never a moment of bittles man, nothing. It's beyond that comprehension. And with tshuva on one chet, you can be greater than that. How much power there is in tshuva, that's what David HaMelech taught us. Al pi darkeinu lamadnu ki sherege shochaim harei hu ki regoim shol eitz hatumen b'choyve es kol ha'ilan kuloi. Es parasev, paraisov, apera, parasev, adoi lam. One moment of life complains in it like a seed, the seed of a tree. It's like one moment of life. What does that seed contain? The entire tree and more fruit and more seeds and more fruit, infinite. So every moment of life contains within it infinite potential. In potential, every moment has your whole life contained in it. Al yaday kach novin gam es oime kainyan shenetilas rega chayim mi adam nechshavas kiratzicha gemura. Taking a minute of a person's life away from him is Ritzicha Gomo. Why? Because in that moment he could have acquired everything. You just take away the potential of that moment of life. Rega Chaim Areihu Kechaim. Choshuv Lahadgish Kechaim Shleimim. The same way as if you destroy the seed, if you destroy the seed of a tree, you've destroyed infinite potential. You've destroyed millions and millions and millions of trees and fruit and potential. Look at the koyach of a seed. So can you imagine one moment of a yid's life, if you destroy that, what you've done? How much nuclear energy you've destroyed? Choshev l'adgish, dvarim eilu eini boim ele kedei l'shobres ha'oizen. It's important to notice is that we're bringing all of this just to what he calls break the ear. It's hard to hear these things. You give these stories, it's like dropping water on a stone. Eventually it sinks in. Hasiva lekachi sharei mashmois rega chaim shel yudi gavua even his gava gam mahadragoseinu eilu. We're just giving a moshul here. You must understand that one moment of a Jewish life is much higher than we've spoken about here, and much more choshev than what we've spoken about here. All we're doing is just giving a few life examples that we can get a grip on. But that's just the tip of the iceberg of what a moment of a life is, of a moment of life. Much greater than we've mentioned here. Rega shel chaim u'olam u'maloi, gam chaim shel tzemach notul akora. The life of a vegetable, who's not going to do tshuva, and he's not going to utilize that moment for what we've described here as being very choshev. שאינו עסק לא בתשובה מאירה ולא מתשובה מאבה, חשובים הם ביועס. Incredibly important, incredibly important. We don't understand why. What's the value of a person in a coma's life, 1 second of that life? That it's worth giving up all the mitzvahs that he could have done, but donating his money, whatever, to keep him alive for one more minute. As we mentioned earlier, we have no idea. Therefore, the Mosholim and the Dugmot you're bringing here are just, that's what they are. They're just there to help us get a grip. But don't think that that's the whole story. The whole story is much bigger than we've imagined. Kasher shkofa zuma love kol yudi bekol tzad v'shol v'chayev. Now you have to get to the point where this hashkofa we've learned actually escorts you through your entire life. Afim yekev lo v'yizbol yusurim kashim v'mari. Even if he's having terrible pain and he's going through terrible yusurim, bitter, difficult yusurim, rachmona litzlan. Ha'agosha lami lichayim lo tavol rin ha'yis of klal. Those feelings of what do I need this for? What am I living for? Take my life, Hashem, lo tzarich et zeh. Don't want this. Those thoughts don't come to his head. Hagoshel kel katzasi b'chai. Dahayno hagoshes haddikaon v'choy satam b'chayim. Enough with my life. Tazovati. What do I need this life for? It's bitter. It's hard. It's difficult. The people that suffer terribly. Hagoshes haddikaon v'choy satam b'chayim. Feelings of depression and endi tam b'chayim. Lo tol b'moich afilu rega echad. Person won't have those thoughts. Bichlal. If Hashem wants me to be alive, Haraya, I'm alive. That means Hashem needs me. He wants me for something. He knows why I'm living and what I need to do and what I'm here for. Hashem's better give up his whole world, all his shabbosim, all his everything, in order to keep me alive for 1 minute. Even if I'm, mitzad my perspective, I'm prepared to give up on my life. Who needs this? I'm a kolish bolcho chofetz pe, but Hashem's not prepared to give up on it. Hashem wants your life. Yesh lo mataran is gova b'chay, v'vi koch hashuva at she'en shekol anushi yechel asigo. The importance, the goal of this life is so choshuv that we can't grasp it. לכן שמחה ואיש שהם לי ליישות פועס המטרנל לחי תבוא השם יפורך. And therefore I'm happy and I'm בשמחה that I can share in this life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to have. There's a Moedika Maisa, where you've sure lived Diskin when you lived in the old city. There was a woman who was, she was bedridden. An old woman was bedridden. She lay. I mean, the life of the healthy, wealthy people in the old city was what we would call torture today. The disease, the poverty, what they lived with was made of ayoyim. And this woman was, by their standards, considered a miskena. So if you imagine what her life looked like. She lived in a one-room little apartment. She couldn't go anywhere. You know, once a week, there was a woman who used to come in and clean her up and make her a little bit fresh or whatever. But by the end of the week, she was already, she went to the bathroom. She was lying in her own, whatever. And Yeshua Leib came to visit her once a week. Yeshua Leib Diskin used to, with the Gondola door, used to pop in and, you know, say hello to her, whatever. So one day, she said to him, give me a brocha. I want a brocha. He said, what do you want a brocha for? She said, I want a brocha for Arichas Yomim. Arichas Yomim. So Yeshua Leib said to her, I'm trying to explain to him what you're talking about. You're lying in your bedridden, you can't go anywhere, you can't do anything. Your life's a miskin. What willst du von Arichas Yomim? What do you want from Arichas Yomim? She said, I see you don't understand anything about life. I don't know if that's what she said to him, but that was how it came across. I heard the story from Rabbi Grinerman. So she said, Rabbi Grinerman takes an hour to tell the story, okay? You ever heard Rabbi? David, remember Rabbi Grinerman spoke to your guys? Rabbi tells a story, takes an hour. He's a world famous storyteller. I once asked him to come speak here. He said, Rev, I don't have time, I'm busy, I can't, whatever. Anyway, I heard he was going to America to speak. So I said, you got time to fly to America, you can't come to Beit Shemesh. He said, pay me what they pay me in America, I'll come to Beit Shemesh. I said, fine, you got a deal. How much? He laughed, he went to us. But anyway, he knows how to tell a story, Rabbi. So I'm not doing justice to the story. It took half an hour, we heard the story for you. Anyway, so she turned around to him and she said, listen, the whole week I'm lying, I'm a luchlach, I can't make a brocha, I can't do anything. But once a week, the kehillah, whatever, sends this woman, she comes in, she cleans me up, refreshens me up or whatever, and I have a bit of a fruit, whatever, and I can make a brocha. for that one brocher a week, it's kedar to be alive. For that one brocher a week that I can make, it's worth all the yisurim and suffering and everything. I'm going to Arichas Yom just to be able to make one brocher a week.
That means the point is to use the potential at the maximum. That means in this case, she used all this time at the maximum.
How many of us would ask for Arichas Yomim? You daven to Dar Rachman and Etzlan in a situation like that. A person understands what the value of one moment of a Jewish life is.
Because a vegetable is the maximum at what he can do. But us, if we don't use what we have, the big value. I don't know. It's what we are doing with our time.
Ouch. Yep, you're right. Yeah. Oh, please!
Amen.
So, how does a person that's Chayav Misa work?
What do you mean?
Now he's Chayav Misa, so does he can't do any more good on this earth?
But he makes the maximum that he can do. What he can do.
He's Chayav Misa, right? Bidei Shamayim or whatever.
Ah, Bidei Shamayim or Bidei?
Okay, Bidei. They need to kill him. They need to stone him.
Fine. So when they stone him, he's dead. Before they stone him, his life still.
I'm saying the Torah gives that permission to cut a person's life short. So does it work conversely to what we've been learning here? That he can't actually give anything more to this world?
He's done something. He's done something that requires. This is based on his old sugi that needs to be understood as well. Once you have to get your. Definitions in your fact clear, but why there is such a thing called Mrs. Beistin. But he's done something that the only thing that can correct what he's done is the Misa. The best thing for him right now is Misa. I'll give you a Moedei Karaya for that. There's a klal in Gemara, Ein Unchin Min Adin. You can't give a punishment to somebody. So let's say for this purpose, the discussion of Misa punishment using a Kal V'Chomer. We know that a Kal V'Chomer is a Doraisa, and you have a Kal V'Chomer, it's watertight. We pass an aloha according to Kal V'Chomer, but you can't give a guy a death sentence on the basis of a Kal V'Chomer. Why not? So there's two shittas, why not? But the one shitta is because how do you know? How do you know? I'll give an example. Let's take the din of the Moilach. There's an issa to bring one child to the Moilach. Huh? You bring a child to the Moilach, you get a death sentence. What happens if you bring two kids? You potter. It's only a very in the Torah that I know about, that if you do it once, you chayv miss it, if you do it again, you potter lagamre. So Gemara says, learn it from a Kal V'Chomer. Yeah? Madoch, he brings one child to the Moilach, he's chayv miss it. Kal V'Chomer brings two children to the Moilach, he should be chayv miss it. Says the Gemara, ain't ancient min adin. You can't punish using a Kal V'Chomer. The Pasuk says he brings a son to the Moilach. Okay? He's trying to bring his whole family, whatever. I can't remember the details, but I just want to get to the sort of this works. So there's two shittas why we don't punish him using Kal V'Chomer. The Mashor, I think it's the Mashor and the Navy Muda, I can't remember who says what anymore. I think the Mashor says it's because of this reason. Because who knows? Bringing one son to the Moilach Misa is what's going to correct that, and it's enough. But you bring two, you don't deserve a death sentence. You've done something too big that the death sentence can't take care of. The Noedi Yehuda, I think, says, I could be mixing them up, but whatever, I think it's the Noedi Yehuda says, is because you could find a piecha afterwards. A Kal V'Chomer can be schlogged up by a piecha. So today, you don't have a piecha. All the chachomim sit down and they think, it's a watertight Kal V'Chomer, you kill the guy. Tomorrow, some guy goes and says, 1 second, I got a piecha on your Kal V'Chomer. Since it's open to piecha, You can't kill someone on the basis of a piecha. I think the Noedi Yehuda says that. But the Mashal's pshat is a pshat. Is the death sentence is specifically designed to metaken this particular chet. Malkus, knas, each thing is designed to rectify the damage that was done. So for one son, what rectifies that is Misa. Two, we've got much bigger things waiting for you, kid. You know, Misa ain't going to help you. So Nachinam, Misa sentence, a person shortens his life by doing something that's chai Misa. He wasted that aspect of his life in Achina.
Why don't we give him time beforehand?
Why do we give him time?
So why don't we?
Who? What?
This guy's just Chayav Misa. So put him in a prison, keep him there for 10 years. Let him do lots of mitzvahs until then. And then we'll kill him as well. And he'll get his tshuva and he'll get mitzvahs.
The Torah says we don't. We do it straight away. On the day. We don't wait. We don't even leave it overnight. It's got to be done on the day. It's got to be the witnesses who have to kill him. Mrs. Beistin, as I said, it's a sugya. Learn the sugya from the bottom up. Trying to understand. We don't have a musog of it today. We don't have any musag. Imagine someone's machal Shabbos b'feis, you took it and you killed him. What would that help? That would restore the glory of Shabbos? What happens is when there's a chil Shabbos in town, okay, it destroys everybody's shmir Shabbos. The covet of Shabbos has been your head. So you take him and you kill him, so that restores covet Shabbos. Everybody's covet Shabbos is now back where it's supposed to be. Today, if you took a guy and killed him for being machal Shabbos, what would it help? You took a guy out today and you... No, besides you, but I'm saying it wouldn't do anything for covet Shabbos. A guy marries a goya, marries a shiksa. So you take him and you kill him. It's going to stop assimilation. Probably more than all the kiruv. What the Muslims do. Put one foot wrong, they kill you, you know, so that's stopping anything. No, the law is there. That's why we don't have kabbonis, that's why you don't eat your children. There's a lot of things that we don't have that we need. Why is kabbonis such a hard thing for us to deal with? Because we're not shaykhed, we're not rooted. You need prophecy to have kabbonis. We don't have prophecy, we can't relate to kabbonis. Looks like cruelty to animals, looks like a waste of a good steak.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it looks like to us at best. Machal Shabbos to save somebody's limb. A person's got a broken arm, they're going to lose their arm. And Machal Shabbos to save that arm. We relate to that, we understand why not. A lot of these things are taken away because we can't grasp them. We have to work without them. We have to keep Shabbos and maintain Kovet Shabbos surrounded by gross funeral Shabbos. With no way of restoring Kovet Shabbos. Hafganot, they help, they don't help, the Kreis nicht. You know, times you go to the Gat and do Hafganot for Shabbos. You have to know. Sometimes not, sometimes yes. If Pinkus went to jail over Kovet Shabbos, restored Kovet Shabbos where he was. So you have to know. The sheets are posh.
Okay.
There was someone's hide missing because he went outside on Shabbos with a pin in his needle, the machad, the tailor's machad in his lapel. He goes out on Shabbos, he's hide missing, we understand. A God you can understand, you don't need, brother. A God you can understand, you don't need. Who needs a God that's got a brain mindset?